97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic. 7:01 on a Wednesday night, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. I'm Devon Gibbons with you until 8:45 tonight. An abbreviated run for us as we get ready for Sixers basketball tipping off right here at 9 o'clock here on The Fanatic. Your Philadelphia 76ers are in Utah tonight as they get ready to take on the Jazz. 4-3, the Jazz are. And right now, the Philadelphia 76ers, after a loss to the Phoenix Suns on Monday, 5-1. Yes, how about that? Josh Rabick, you're laughing at me. Hey, Josh Rabick is producing the show. Hey, I'm not gloating or anything. Like I said, I just wanted to watch the game, wear my Phoenix Suns gear, and hope the Sixers go undefeated. I'm not upset.
Oh, good for you.
What they need to do, though, is now rebound. A good win on Saturday night? Yeah, against Portland. Nice win. Furkan Korkmaz coming up big. Now they're in Utah. 4-3 team. Underachieving right now. Take some time, right, for players to really get into a groove when you switch to new teams, and that's what's happening with Mike Conley and Bogdanovich, with Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, and the whole bit that they have going on there. And I like this Jazz team. I said this at the beginning of the season. I really like this Jazz team as a sleeper in the West. I don't think they're a sleeper any longer. Everyone knows, and that's why they're getting the best of people. So they're going to get a good run tonight. The 76ers are against the Utah Jazz. So I'm curious to see how things go with this basketball game tonight with these two teams. It's going to be a fun game, and I encourage you guys to stick around here on The Fanatic to see what happens with this Utah Jazz team, who are 3-0 at home. Sixers are 3-1 on the road. Their lone loss to, of course, the Phoenix Suns on Monday. Jazz undefeated at home. They've lost two in a row, so they lost to the lowly Kings, and of course the juggernaut of the Clippers. They're trying to get their winning ways back, and they're going to try to do it back at home after a two-game road trip, two losses. Now they get ready to play the Philadelphia 76ers. So, hey, guys, it's going to be a good one. So stick around here on The Fanatic, 7:30 tip right here on the home of the 76ers. But before then, we will talk some Sixers. But we also have to talk about your Philadelphia Eagles, your 5-3 Philadelphia Eagles. And yes, they have the bye week. We know what it is. Dallas won last night. So the Eagles are still in second place at 5-4 behind the Cowboys, who are 5-3 at this current time. Right now, the Cowboys are 4-0 in the division. The Eagles have four more games against the NFC East, one of them being against the Dallas Cowboys in the second to last game of the season, and they have some work to do after the bye week, certainly getting ready for the New England Patriots at home and the Seattle Seahawks right after them at home, and then things get a little bit easier, we think, with Miami and then so on and so forth with the schedule. Again, two against New York, one against Washington, and one important one against the Dallas Cowboys. While they had this nice win, a lot of questions about the win, but they got the win there, 5-4 on Sunday at home against Chicago. So much so that they're tripping in Chicago. Mitch Trubisky is now worried about the TVs in the facility showing too much stuff about the team being bad and what they need to do to fix it. Well, the Eagles have some things to fix as well. We were excited, not really excited. We were ready for DeSean Jackson to come back on Sunday. Few snaps. He's out, being checked, he's gone. Okay? Ended quickly, surgery is required, has the surgery, likely done for the rest of the year. They place him on IR. They release Andrew Sendejo because he's made his mistakes over the last couple of weeks, knocking out his own teammate, one of them, Avante Maddox, right? We just got him back. So, they have no receivers. We knew that already. You don't have DeSean Jackson. What do you do? We spoke about it on the pro show with Brian Westbrook, special guests Barrett Brooks and my guy, Jason Avant from pregame show, who will be with us at 7:30 to talk about the latest move of Jordan Matthews returning for the third time to Philadelphia. How about that? Huh? Jordan Matthews back. Does that make you feel good? Well, even if it doesn't, guess what? He is back, okay? He is something probably better than what they have outside of Alshon Jeffrey. Some might say he's better than Alshon Jeffrey. I'm not willing to go that far, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying. So, when we look at this football team right now, 5-4, still an opportunity to win this division. Four games left in the division, one important one against the Dallas Cowboys, and a relatively easy schedule through the last five after you get through New England and Seattle, both of which you can lose. And if you do, you're now looking at 5-6. Those five final games will be very important because you're going to have to sweep them at that point to try to win the division at 10-6. So as we look at things, there's a lot of talk about what this team is around the country, certainly locally, of how we look at this basketball football team. So when we look at this football team, it starts with the quarterback and the wide receivers not really connecting. Defense doing as best as they can with limited talent in the secondary. Same with the linebacker position and even along the defensive front where they have been better. They have reinforcements. Fletcher Cox has stepped up. The same for Brandon Graham. Still getting some sketchy play from time to time from Derek Barnett. But then you, other than that, Tim Jernigan returning this past weekend, you have no names. You have names that you don't really know, right? So they're piecing it together. They're finding a way to get it done. Offensively, they're not doing enough. The quarterback, the offensive line playing really good. The running game getting going, where that might be the identity of this football team, along with the defense. Carson Wentz having to simply game manage, which you are not paying him that much money to do. That's what might be there for you right now. So, with Deshaun gone, you know what this football team is right now with the wide receivers, with all of the drops, right? All of the drops. Litany, number of drops. Everyone. Even Alshon Jeffrey is dropping passes over the weekend that he should not be dropping, that he knows he's better than, and he made up for it later on. But even he is not producing the way that we're accustomed to seeing him produce. So what do they do? Well, they go out and they get Jordan Matthews. And when we have Jason coming up at 7:30, we'll hear from Jason about Jordan Matthews because he wasn't really with us saying, what is that going to do? So we'll get a chance to speak to him at 7:30 to get his how he feels now, a couple of days later, now that he's actually here. Jordan Matthews, no Torrey Smith, no J.J. Nelson, none of the other names that we threw out there. It is, in fact, this guy and Jordan Matthews. So, on First Take, which I don't watch, okay? Which I don't watch. I respect Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman for what they do. Especially Max Kellerman for his boxing acumen and what he knows about the game. And it's not limiting him and pigeonholing him to one sport, because I hate it when people try to pigeonhole me to basketball, even though that's my number one sport. I love football. I love baseball. I can discuss hockey. Let's do it. But Max Kellerman, before the season started, I remember, I say this to people. Josh was here with me as well. Sitting in the place, getting my oil changed. The TV is on, First Take is on. It's early in the morning. He's talking about duos and who's the best wide receiver duo in the league going to be at the end of the year. He and Dominic Foxworthy, right? Former NFL corner, really good player. They're discussing it. He says Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. by the end of the year will be the best 1-2 duo, wide receiver quarterback duo, in the NFL. I was so frustrated by what he said, we had to do a show on it, and we did. It was fun. It was successful. What the hell is he talking about? Well, I have another what the hell is he talking about moment right here with Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith. Marcus Spears comes in at the end and tries to get in some things in. Former Dallas Cowboy defensive lineman. Couldn't really get in because we cut the audio, because what we really want you to hear is this nonsense by Max Kellerman.
A lot of the reason they're dropping passes, and I've been on this since day one, Carson Wentz has to show that he can lead them.
That is ridiculous.
Stop.
Stop
right there.
What does that have to do with dropping passes?
I let you speak.
You did.
Carson Wentz, I have been on this since the beginning. There is an issue with his relationship with the receiver.
That has nothing to do with them dropping the ball.
Particularly Alshon Jeffery, who suddenly has like the hiccups. Like suddenly Alshon Jeffery can't catch
Max
pass.
Is the quarterback.
Why is that?
So Max is the quarterback. Right. I don't like Max. I don't get along with Max. So I drop something that hits me right here.
Yeah, I believe
I drop a pass that hits me.
Right.
That is dumb.
I believe that's
just dumb.
That's right.
I drop a pass that hit me right here.
That's right.
Because I don't like you.
Really? I believe it's affecting things. That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
No, no, no.
I asked
the direct question. You saying that because somebody don't like him, they're going to drop a pass that hit him right in the
hand? It's not like, I'm not going to catch this ball.
Okay, see, what Marcus Spears was trying to say at the end there was, Max, you're out of your mind. And I'm just assuming that not watching it but seeing this clip all over social media, Stephen A. Smith, other people putting it out there, I often agree with Stephen A. Sometimes I can't take the yelling and all that, but he was well within his right to yell at Max Kellerman for that nonsense, in my opinion, and Stephen A. Smith's and Marcus Spears' opinion, that is ridiculous, okay? To even say what he was saying about the wide receivers dropping passes from Carson Wentz. How about they don't have enough talent right now? How about that? How about they're not good enough? And that's why they are dropping the passes. How about that? That is just utterly ridiculous for him to even say that. And I know it's a national media thing. It's not us, right? It's not local. Who cares what they say? Well, Stephen A. Smith has a pulse of what's going on locally here in Philadelphia. Max Kellerman does not, which is why I am happy he said what he said and backed up the Philadelphia Eagles in that sense, because it was ridiculous. They have their issues. They're not very good. Mac Hollins and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside are not catching passes because they don't like Carson Wentz because he's not leading the right way. What does that do for them as two fringe players, if you will, especially in Mac Hollins' case, that if they're dropping passes on purpose, what is that going to do for their job? Huh? What kind of security are they going to have if they decide that I want to drop some passes because I want to get out of here and go elsewhere? Well, who's going to really pick you up based on what you have done? And if you're saying, I didn't like my quarterback, you really think they're going to pick you up and give you a job because you didn't like your quarterback? Huh? What is he talking about? Alshon Jeffery and Nelson Aguilar. I would think these are two prideful players. Two Super Bowl winners who had a hand in what happened in 2017 season to win that Super Bowl, that they, free agent, Nelson Aguilar, an opportunity, Nelson Aguilar with DeSean Jackson out of the lineup, Alshon Jeffery dropped the pass in the biggest spot last year in the playoffs that could have. We don't know what would have happened after he scored or they didn't score, whatever, had he caught the pass. But potentially moving on to the next round, the NFC Championship game for the Eagles. He's really going to drop passes from his quarterback because he's frustrated? No! They're not good! They're not good right now! Or am I wrong? Do you feel this way? Do you feel that myself, Stephen A. Smith, Marcus Spears are wrong and Max Kellerman is right about what he's saying about this football team, the wide receivers in general, dropping passes on purpose because they are not relating to Carson because he's not leading well, and that's why they are not catching the football. I find that ludicrous. It's a big-time reach for Max Kellerman to say something ridiculous like that about any quarterback at this point, especially one that comes into the season as a Super Bowl contender, not just from us locally, the people who cover the team here, the fans, what we do here on the radio station, talking about them all year long. That is ridiculous. That is ridiculous. I hope that none of you feel that way, because that is not it. They are not good right now. They're not dropping passes on purpose. Okay, people? Okay, Max Kellerman? They're not dropping passes on purpose. Can Carson be better sometimes? Absolutely. Yes, he can. Can the receivers be better? Yup. When Jason and I got into a conversation on Monday during Brian Westbrook's show about Darren Sproles dropping one, I thought Darren Sproles just dropped it. Jason Avant said no, it was led too much, led too far, too high for the shorter player. Give him a chance to make a play. Hey, my bad. Jason knows better than I may have seen it wrong. A couple of weeks ago, I think it was the Minnesota game where I believe they could have tied it up at 24. And Carson hits Alshon Jeffrey along the right sideline. I thought he led him closer to the sideline where Alshon Jeffrey's body was fading out. I said, Carson, during the pregame show the next week, could have thrown a better football. Trey Thomas said, No. Alshon Jeffrey has to be better and keep his balance in bounds because there was enough there for him to do to stay in bounds to make a play. Right? Trey, my bad. You know better. We'll argue a lot, me and the guys, because I feel like I have gained their respect over the years when we talk football. They know I'm not just saying stuff to say it, but when they're right, since as former players, they see something way better, especially when they go back and look at the coach's film and all that stuff and break it down. Then they show me, right? We're sitting there. They have it on their computer. They show me. My bad. I was wrong. But there have been many where these guys simply, because of talent or concentration, maybe that's part of talent, right? In the NFL, you have to concentrate when the hit is coming. You brace yourself for it, but you secure the pass first. Alshon Jeffrey dropped one over on Sunday because when we were sitting there talking about it, it looked as if he saw the safety coming. I've never seen Alshon Jeffrey do that. When in Atlanta, we all know the famed Nelson Aguilar drop. What happened? Saw the safety coming. Didn't bust it off the line of scrimmage well enough. Right? Jason Avant said, didn't bust it right out of his break. By the time the ball was coming, he didn't expect to be getting that football on that route. He had to speed up. He was never ready to catch it. He wasn't ready for the play. Unacceptable. That's not Carson Wentz. Put it right in his hands. While Mac Collins needs more opportunities, deserves more chances, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, because he's a second-round pick to go out there and do his work. Did he go up there and get that football against the Detroit Lions with the game on the line, right at the goal line on a deep pass? He did not. He did not. We've seen Tyreek Hill make that play, a smaller player. Yes, a far more talented player, but yet and still a player in the NFL, a second-round pick in the NFL that you draft very high to go out there and make plays to help out your quarterback as well, especially with the game on the line. Max Kellerman is wrong here to say that his receivers are dropping passes on purpose because they are not connecting. Carson Wentz is not leading well enough. They're not connecting with their quarterback. Therefore, they are dropping the football. I find that to be ludicrous. Am I wrong? Do you guys agree with that? 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick is producing the show. Devon Givens with you until 8:45 as we hand things off to Brian Seltzer of Sixers.com for the pregame show right here on the Sixers station. Sixers, home of Sixers basketball, 97.5 The Fanatic. They take on the Utah Jazz, where Tom McGinnis will be on the game call at 9 o'clock right here on the Fanatic. Starting off with the Philadelphia Eagles, specifically Max Kellerman, saying that, hey, the receivers are dropping footballs because they are not connecting with their quarterback in terms of his leadership. That is ridiculous. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens again with you until 8:45 right here on the Fanatic. We'll hear from Josh Rabick. Jason Avant will be up at 7:30 to get his take on Jordan Matthews being back with the football team. He gets a whole week and a half, right? Gets a whole week and a half to get things. Well, he already knows the playbook. What am I talking about? He was just here last year. Let's go to the phones. 610-632-0975. And we'll certainly talk the Sixers, and specifically Simmons, because I have things to say about Ben Simmons from that Phoenix Suns game. Well, I look at that Phoenix Suns game all the time, and since Mikhail got there, hey, I'm always rooting for my cousin to do well. If they win, I'm happy for him. But the Sixers had an opportunity to win that game. I put some blame on Ben Simmons in that game right there, folks. And you know me. I'm a big Ben Simmons guy. I support him a lot. I protect him a lot on this station. What he did was unacceptable in that game on Monday against my other squad. Let's go to the phone, 610-632-0975. We start off in the Northeast with Brian. B, what's going on? Tipping us off right here on the Fanatic. What's going on, man?
How you doing, Devon? How you been?
I've been good, man. Hanging in there. How about yourself?
I'm good, man. That's a, I'm a long-time listener. It's my first time calling in.
Appreciate
I love
it.
This call, by
Thank
the
you.
Way.
Thank you.
I actually heard Mac Tillman. I watched the piece when he was arguing with Stephen A., and he was kind of, you know, basically blaming Carson Wentz's passing.
Yes.
Am I getting that right? He's basically saying
his,
that
his passing and his leadership.
Right. And to be honest with you, I know that's just foolish to say to begin with, but my stance is actually neither. I actually totally believe that it's the play calling, because if you look back to 2017, we really didn't have a burner like DeSean Jackson. Everybody's worried about a deep threat. Yes, we had Torrey Smith, but he didn't have that fast of wheels in 2017. And I totally believe that, I mean, we had guys like everybody pitching in that year, catching 15, 20, 25-yard passes, all because of Frank Reich. I totally believe 100% it's the play calling.
Oh, wow, you're one of those where Frank Reich really helped out Doug Peterson in his play calling, because it wasn't just the West Coast offense. It was more of a spread offense, a creative offense.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And I completely also agree that they need to, I mean, the drop passes are absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, I believe way more that it has a lot to do with the play calling.
Well, listen, man, you might be right, because we talk about it on the pregame show a lot, Brian, where they need more of that to really get where they need to be. And part of that has to be Doug. This is on him, Brian. When we talk on Monday with the guys, right? All of them, from Barrett to Jason, who we're here from at 7:30, and Brian Westbrook. Man, listen, they all said, you know what? It's not about the receiver, the running game, none of that stuff. It's about the head coach now. You are looked at as an offensive genius coming in, where you've earned people's trust. Now you have to go out there and do it. And we saw it last year, Brian. Thanks again, man. Don't be a stranger. Appreciate you checking in. Where you've been out there. Last year, they were down. They got back in it. With the combination of he and Nick Foles and the defense really picking it up, they got back in it. He has to do that again, this time with his quarterback, with one of his wide receivers, and hopefully the running game and the defense as well. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 8:45. Taking you right into Sixers basketball there in Utah. Third game of a four-game trip. Hopefully they can get this W. They suffered their first loss of the season to Phoenix on Monday. I have some questions, some things to say about Ben Simmons in that game. I wasn't happy, but we're talking football right now first. And guys, we'll get to you as well, 610-632-0975. And we're going to hear from my partner from the pregame show, Jason Avant, to get his take on Matthews and the Eagles right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
It is 729, 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you here on until 8:45. Sixers basketball coming up a little shortly against the Utah Jazz. Looking forward to this game to see what the boys do. And we have the return of Joel Embiid. So that'll be good, right? Go out there, Rudy Gobert. You know he's going to get up for this game. And I'm sure he and Rudy Gobert won't get into any fight, especially after everything that happened. I expect Joel Embiid to be on his best behavior tonight against the Utah Jazz. We're talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. Specifically, though, Max Kellerman on First Take with Stephen A. Smith spewing nonsense about the birds where he says Carson Wentz is really the problem. And the part of the problem is his leadership is causing his skill players to drop the football. It's just nonsense. By the way, his passes, they're not the reason. The lack of leadership is the reason why they're dropping the football. The 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Club Risque, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with three locations in Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. Joining us right now on the Comcast Business Hotline, guys, hang on, because I know you want to hear from this man. First of all, a Philadelphia Eagle, great at the wide receiver position. He keeps refusing to come back because he says he has nothing left in the tank. I disagree, but he's also my guy, my partner on the pregame show. Joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Jason Avant. Jay, what's going on, man? What's happening?
I'm doing great. I can't complain.
Oh, man, listen. Well, first, before we get to Jordan Matthews, we'll give you enough time for that one. But I don't know if you heard this thing about First Take Max Kellerman. I don't watch the show, Jay, but it was everywhere on social media with he and Stephen A. Smith going at it and Stephen A. protecting Philadelphia because Max Kellerman, Jay, points out that the Philadelphia Eagles receivers are dropping the football because they do not connect with Carson Wentz because they he's not a great leader. What do you say to that?
That may be the dumbest argument I've ever heard in my life. Like, just in general, it's not the brightest argument because, like, when you're in the pros, your job is to do your job and catch the football, and you're being judged not only with the Philadelphia Eagles, but you're being scouted with the scouts from all over the league. And your future is not just in Philadelphia, but you want to continue your future. Say the team can't pay you because they have too many good receivers. Another team is going to pick you up, and you're what you put on tape last. So guys are not dropping the ball because they don't have a relationship with, you know, Carson Wentz because it's a lack of leadership. It has nothing to do with a lack of leadership. It has to do with not focusing. It has to do with, you know, being comfortable in a locker room and living on the Super Bowl. Has to do with not addressing other talent besides Deshaun Jackson at the receiver position. Has to do with just not being talented enough at times to play the position in the National Football League. But it has zero to do with Carson Wentz and all to do with the players that are playing a receiver position.
Absolutely. That was one of the things, man, just being around you guys for so long. And I know that well enough that Nelson Aguilar, a free agent at the end of the year, Mac Hollins, arguably as a receiver on his last leg if he doesn't get things going, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside wanting to prove that he can play in this league, they're not going to drop the football on purpose. And even guys like Alshon Jeffrey, Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, and Darren Sproles, they want to win. They're not going out there and simply dropping footballs on purpose just to make the quarterback look good. Because, by the way, he's not going anywhere. He has a new contract. So that's just ridiculous. I thought the same thing, man.
Yeah, that's the truth. So that's the one guy that's immune from getting cut is Carson Wentz,
yes.
Right? If nothing's happening to him. And the quarterback in this league will always be preferred and valued over every other position. So you should catch the ball and do good for your family and for those around you. Just think about that. Like, you're not just playing football for Nelson Aguilar or Alshon Jeffrey or any other person. You're playing football for those that have trained you, your coaches, your family, your teammates that are in the city, for the fans, and for so many people in your life. So you're going to go out and drop balls just because you don't think Carson is a leader. That's like cutting off your nose to spite your face. It's just not like, you know, it doesn't make sense. So I think it was like one of the worst arguments I've ever heard Max Kellerman, you know, come up with. And he should be ashamed of that argument to actually take that stance as a professional, it was a really, really bad stance as a professional.
Absolutely. Jason Avant joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Of course, you can hear him on Sunday mornings or 3 hours before the game, pregame show right here on the Fanatic with Brian Westbrook, Trey Thomas, and myself. Jay, we spoke about what next. Now that DeSean Jackson has had the surgery, he's down for the season, presumably. It looked like they put him on IR as well. So we had threw around. What is next? And you and Barrett and even Brian pointed out that it's now going to be up to the quarter to the head coach to really devise things and get this team where they need to be, which is the postseason. We also pointed out what else in terms of the wide receiver grouping. They went out there and they did re-sign Jordan Matthews. You were really not impressed with that name again for a third time. Now that he's actually signed, what do you think?
Yeah, so like I said yesterday that he would be, and that was you know, a few other of us that was like, what is he going to do for
right.
Look, he's better than what we have. I don't think that he's going to make a difference when it comes to the overall value of the receivers. He'll make the sound play, but he's not a burner down the field. We need someone that's going to stretch the defense, and basically you just add another, you know, slot guy or a bigger body that's still in the likeness of, you know, Alshon and or J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. So I think that you have to change your philosophy and turn this into, you know, the 2010 New England Patriots or wherever that was, and they had Hernandez and Gronkowski, and they had, you know, the running back. So you have to figure out a way to go through Goddard, go through Ertz, go through Sanders, and make them the focus of your offense, and then just add the other guys in as you see fit. But the majority of the targets in the pass game should go to Ertz, Goddard, and Sanders. And that's how you do it. It's a small ball play. You can put him out at wide receiver, Miles Sanders, if you get a chance to get him on a linebacker, and see if you can go one-on-one down the field. But you have to come up and be creative. And Doug, over the last two games, have called some creative plays with the screens and implementing that over the last few games. So I think that he can figure out a way to devise it. And this is the time, because bye week is traditionally a self-scout. You have to go in and scout yourself, see what you do well, what you don't do well, and then come up with a better game plan for the future.
Hey, what does this say, though, about Jordan Matthews coming back and the relationship that he does have with Carson Wentz in terms of him just simply trusting someone out there? Now, if it is Aguilar and Jeffrey along with one of the tight ends, one running back, and then Jordan Matthews is out there, he's totally different from Mac Hollins or even J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, where he does, in fact, trust that guy. What does this say for that, though?
Well, he definitely trusts, you know, Jordan Matthews. And guess what? Jordan Matthews is a hard worker.
Yes.
He's going to work to get open. I can't always say that the guys that are out there are working to get open to catch the football. Sometimes it seems like they're running routes, but they're not actively competing to get open because the ball could actually come to them. So Jordan Matthews is one of those guys that is a competitor, that does work hard, that's an overachiever at times, and is trying to make a play. So I know that bodes well for Carson Wentz, and he wants that. He wants guys that's going to go above and beyond the call of duty to try to make a play for them, that's not going to complain and say, you know what, the ball is at the wrong trajectory. You know, the dog ate my homework. The lights were in my eyes. Come up with things like that. Jordan Matthews is definitely going to give him 100% effort. He's not the most talented player at this age, but that has nothing to do with his effort. I think he'll give maximum effort, and that's something to hang your hat on. As a quarterback, that's something to be said about that. Look, I'm going to go to the guy that I know is going to give me all his effort.
A final one before we let you go and get you out of here. You just spoke about how the bye week goes, where you self-scout and you look at different things. First, what does the coach typically do off of a win, being around Doug Peterson and Andy Reid, of course? Andy Reid a lot of times will give you guys the week off and then return the following week and get you guys' work done. So what typically happens during the bye week, and as they get ready for the New England Patriots, what's going on?
Yeah, so usually if you win, you'll get Sunday off to the following, like Sunday, then you'll practice on Sunday, Sunday or Monday, and then you'll come back in on Wednesday, like the normal work week. So that's why it's so important to win that game. And guys need the rest. Like, and I don't encourage, you know, guys to go out and, you know, run a million routes and all of those things. You need to get your body right for the season, and that's just rest and relaxation. So a lot of guys are trying to get to the nearest, you know, tropical place, whether that's California or Florida or even Texas at times, to try to just relax and get some, you know, some rest. But the coaches are back, and they're game planning. They're saying, "Hold, we got the Patriots coming in. Let's come up with like some creative plays. Let's come up, you know, with a way to attack Tom Brady. He's getting a little bit older. Let's cover the underneath stuff and make him be accurate down the field." Like, they're coming up with everything, and they're talking to the scouts that have gone through the scouting process, and then they're getting all that information, devising the game plan for the Patriots in at least the next three games, so they can get an idea of the plays that they want going into the next couple of weeks.
Well, listen, man, we have a lot to talk about. And, well, you get yourself a bye week because you don't have a pregame show this weekend. We get a weekend.
Look at that.
Yeah, look at that. You get to relax a little bit and regroup for the stretch run as the Birds have 7 games left, Jay. Some really important games starting with the Patriots in Seattle right after the bye week. So we'll talk to you after that and we'll see where you feel this team is going to be as we get ready for the Patriots.
Oh, no problem. Thanks, Devon. I have anybody can come to Launch Trampoline Park. We have a location in Delran, Deffert, and Newark, Delaware. We have everything, trampolines, Ninja Warrior, rock climbing, VR, birthday parties, anything you need for your family and to have fun, take your mind off the reality of the world and the vicissitudes of life. Just come on out, have a good time, relax. We'll take care of your Launch Trampoline Park.
And I can, of course, attest to that. Jason invited me and the family out. We went and had a good time, me and my daughters. And as Jay is talking about, sometimes you just need some things to get your mind off of certain situations, some real life stuff, and go have a good time. And Launch is a great place. So go out there to any of the locations and have a great time. Jay, as always, man, appreciate it. I'll talk to you in about a week, man.
All right, talk to you.
You got it. Thanks. Jason Avant joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline with some great stuff on the Birds. All of you guys, thanks so much for hanging on through the interview. Drew, Mike, Damon, Joe, David, Keith, we'll get to you on the other side, give you all your time. Certainly 610-632-0975. And anything that Jason had to say and you feel you want to talk about, feel free to speak on the other side. I'm Devon Gibbons with you until 8:45. Josh Rabick here right with me right on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, everybody? This is Mikal Bridges from the Phoenix Suns.
1-point lead, and now Bridges with a steal. Down the lane, layup up and good.
And you listen to my cuz, Devon Givens, on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh! Oh! Josh! I was off, so I haven't even... Ah, nice work by you. Look at that. Yeah. You know, a couple light work. Got some wins. What's going on, y'all? Devon Givens with you until 8:45. Sixers back in action tonight against the Utah Jazz. 3rd game of the 4-game set. They are in Denver on Friday night for the final one. And D. Lyman and I together for the Sixers pregame show from Trap Tavern on Friday night. So I hope to see you guys out there in Collegeville. I've never been. I've heard some great things about it. So D. Lyman and I together Friday night, starting at 6, right here on the Fanatic, getting ready for Sixers Nuggets, hopefully coming off of a win. Because you know what? Had to fall to the Suns. It's okay. It's all right. You just heard why. And then you get back on track tonight. Go 3-1 on this road trip. Come back on Sunday. No Eagles. You go down to the center. 6 o'clock tip against the Charlotte Hornets. Beat the brakes off of them. Feeling good. Feeling good. 8-1 at that point. I'm jumping ahead, but you know. It's okay. It's one loss. Good steal by my man right there, though. I was still a little mad, even though they won, because they missed them a couple of times. Let's go back to the phones. I can do this all night. Great job, Josh Rabick. Thank you, man. Appreciate that. Drew Westchester, next on the Fanatic. What's up, Drew?
Yo, what's going on, Devon? How you doing, my friend?
Doing well, man. Thank you.
Good, man. So, about the Eagles, I was looking at their schedules. And I mean, I guess we're both in agreement that we got to win the division to make the playoffs, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, I'm looking at Dallas and I'm looking at our schedule. And I really, maybe it's just me being a homie and thinking good things, but I can honestly see us losing these next two games and still winning this division. And I could see Dallas kind of taking a downward spiral here, because I think they really started off their season with kind of their easy part, where we're kind of coming into, you know, obviously after these next two games, our easy part.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're going to be hitting, like, you know, the real tough part, and we're going to kind of be coming down to our easy part. But at the same time, like you said, you know, this isn't a good team right now. I mean, we're struggling. So even if we do win the division, I don't see much going forward than that. But anything can happen.
That depends on how they're playing when they get there. They could be
exactly
on a roll. I mean, let's just simply look at what they did last year. They win those games at the end of the season when Carson got hurt. We were like 5-6. So they got on a roll. So the same thing could happen again for this football team, especially if Carson is who a lot of people think he is.
And I'm with you, man. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm hoping, you know, that we just get there so we can show that, you know, whatever happens during the regular season doesn't matter, because once you're in the, you know, once you're in the show.
Yeah, this is not the Phillies.
You know, all bets are off.
This is not the Phillies. Look at the Nationals, right? You get in.
Exactly.
You get in, you see what happens. And just to give people a quick one, Drew, to your point of the Cowboys schedule, this weekend they're home for the Vikings, at the Lions after that, at the Patriots after that one, at home for Buffalo, at Chicago, home for the Rams, at Philadelphia. They close the season out Washington. So while they are 5-3 right now, they could potentially, as you mentioned, have a slip up somewhere. And their bye week is between Chicago and the Rams.
You're right. So, I could see them going 3-5 there, possibly. I mean, that's a tough schedule, in all honesty.
But you know what, Drew? It's going to be interesting down the stretch, man. Thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. I could see where they can actually win some of those games as well. Home for the Vikings, you can see them winning that one. At Detroit, see them winning that one. Now, the Patriots, both for the Eagles and the Cowboys, Patriots did not look very good against the Ravens this past weekend. They lost. It could happen again. Dallas is a decent football team. They have good offensive weapons. They have some good defensive stuff as well. Buffalo, they'll beat Buffalo. Chicago stinks. Rams, Eagles, those are the other two tough games, I would say. So if they can find a way to lose three of those, that would be great. Or four. That would be even greater. That would be even greater. Mike in Washington's Crossing joining us next on the Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Devon. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Good. I want to give a quick shout out to my little girls, Harper, Reckon, and Cameron, listening on the radio. I'm calling in about, the comments Max made, and I know he was a little over the top, but I think he carries some weight with what he's saying about, the receivers maybe not catching everything they can because they're not buying into, you know, Carson's leadership.
How so? Because I find that just baffling.
Yeah, and I get that, and it's a little bit crazy. I don't want to sit here and tell you that I think they're doing it on purpose, but, I've been in situations that I've had to do things, you know, with work or other things that I haven't 100% bought into. And I don't think I was able to do them as efficiently as I could as if I bought into them and I truly believed the person that was leading me. I am a military vet. I did two tours in Iraq, and I saw some crazy stuff over there that I would have never thought that was possible, that you can't really explain. I think it's kind of a subconscious type of thing that occurs. And, I totally believe that, you know, maybe it's not completely explaining everything that's going on, but I do think that if you buy into someone and you truly 100% believe in them, you are going to play and operate better than you would if you don't really believe in
what
they're doing.
Okay, but number one, first of all, Mike, they're not good enough. Number two, what does that say for the rest of their teammates, that if they do buy in with them, that they are then letting those players, those teammates down?
Yeah.
Because
and,
of one.
And I'm with you on that, and I'm not saying that they have the best team. I think everybody, you know, knows that they need to be some help, and everybody's, you know, very disappointed that Howie didn't address the receiving core before, you know, the trade deadline. But you know, I'm just I can understand a tad bit of what he's saying, and I'm not saying, you know, that this guy is like the end all be all with what he's saying, but. I mean, I think we can all probably think back to what we've done in our life and realize that, hey, you know, when we didn't buy in, we weren't performing 100%. And that's kind of what the guy's saying.
Well, listen, again, I appreciate the call, man, Mike. I disagree, but that's why we're talking about it, because some might see it differently, as Mike certainly does here. 610-632-0975. DeMond, Joe, Andrew, and Keith. Two open phone lines for the first time since we got started at 7. We're here until 8:45. Sixers Jazz coming up at 9. 8:45, we hand things off to Brian Seltzer for the pregame coverage right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. The Fanatic.
I love my little dudes. They my little guys. I love them.
Well, let's see what the little guys do for AI tonight while they're in Utah taking on the Jazz. 610-632-0975. What's up, y'all? Devon Givens back at it here till 8:45. Again, Brian Seltz with pregame coverage right here on the Fanatic as they get ready for this big game on the West Coast against the Utah Jazz. 610-632-0975. I had some issues with Ben Simmons' game on Monday against the Phoenix Suns, and we'll get into that. We have plenty of time, again, at 8:45 before we hand things off. So let's go back to the phones while we're talking some birds. Check in with DeMond and Sheltenham on the Fanatic. DeMond, what's happening, man?
Hey, Devon, what's going on, good brother?
Oh, man, hanging in there. You know, a little Eagles talk with the ridiculousness from Max Kellerman. Get ready for the Sixers as well. What's up with you?
Oh, man, listen, I'm enjoying the talk, man, but not enjoying our season.
No, not at all. Hopefully this is terrible right now. Not terrible because they're 5-4, but hopefully it's bad now for what we could get later on when they turn things around.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm hoping, but I want to make a couple quick points real quick, Devon, if I may, brother.
Absolutely.
The first one I want to make is, as an Eagles fan, I'm talking as a fan, I'm 44 years old, man. I've been a fan all my whole entire life. And as looking at all the teams up until now, to me, what I'm being told or seeing from the ownership is this. They were okay with winning a couple years ago. They got their ring. They cool. They got their money. They still get more money from the fans. The seats in the stadium that went up. You know, we got new stadium, box seats, all crazy. You know, everything they earn their money. They're okay for now. And the reason why I say that is because we had ample enough time. I say for the last 3 years, we knew we needed cornerbacks. We did nothing about it.
Absolutely. That was my number one issue coming into the season, even though I thought they would still be good. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we knew we needed cornerbacks. They haven't drafted them. They haven't got any from any other team that was good so far, right? Then now you know about the thing that they're saying about Carson and his leadership and things. Everybody's questioning that. I'm going to tell you this about Carson. I like the man, the young man, as a leader. I believe he's leading a certain way. I like it. I just think the team was comfortable, more comfortable with Foles more than with him. And you're getting some of that rejection or that flashback because of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's always tough for me because they may have been, and people say, well, what if they had it for the full season? We don't know what it would have been like for 16 games. While they may have been more comfortable, they might be losing. You know, but they certainly performed in a way that they did, but how often do we see it where teams really step things up for their backup quarterback. And that was the case here, and he happened to win a Super Bowl.
And that's what I'm saying in reference to that, bro. Another thing I want to say is D-Jack, man.
Yes.
This killed me. And this is more the reason why I believe they say that we comfortable with, like Trey said in the one time, we all we got, we all we need. He yep. always say that, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, I feel it more and more because even with D-Jack, they knew he was hurt, man. He only played two plays. He got hurt. I would never have brought him back against the Chicago. It didn't mean anything. It was a meaningless game. I mean, Chicago ain't had nobody. They can't score no points. Why test him going in? I believe they already knew that Deshaun was not ready. He couldn't go for it. They knew this already. So they threw him out there as a, okay, y'all, we did it. He came back. He did it. Oh, he's hurt now. We can't continue on. He had a hernia. We know he had a sports hernia. He had to that operation in the beginning. And that way we could have grabbed Sanders. I keep talking about Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, those guys on the pregame show with me, DeMond, great stuff, man. Good to hear from you. Thanks for the call. They brought up Emmanuel Sanders, and I was a little against it, and I was wrong. And that one, not that I didn't want him, it was more of, does he still have it, was my question. And we saw him with the San Francisco 49ers already, and he still has it. So maybe they should have gone out there and acquired Emmanuel Sanders, because he is better than anything that you have. He would have probably made a difference going forward. And they, even bringing in Jordan Matthews, while a lot of people are like, all right, cool, at least we have a professional out there who, as you just heard Jason Avant talk about, is going to go out there and work hard every time. He's going to go through every route the way he's supposed to go through every route. He is not Emmanuel Sanders. He is not Amari Cooper from last year. Heck, Golden Tate might help this football team right now. The same Golden Tate that they acquired last year now with the New York Giants. 610-632-0975. Keith in Collegeville jumping on with us next on The Fanatic. Keith.
Hey, how's it going? First time caller. Appreciate you taking my call.
I appreciate you calling.
I just wanted to touch on the whole idea that it's Carson's leadership is what's causing the guys to drop the ball.
What do you think?
I totally disagree. For the simple wording of the sentence, if there's a saying that you drop the ball, well, Carson got it to you.
Real simple, right?
Yeah, and you dropped it. So, you know, my expectation of an NFL player and probably what they should have of themselves, if it touches your hands, you got to secure it. And the passes that I see that are getting dropped, guys are hearing the footsteps. They're worried about getting popped before they secure the ball. Maybe they don't like the way it looked at the release and they just stop running it out. But this guy's doing everything he can to get back to where he was, to where he got them before. And I don't think anybody's looking at it like, yo, we owe him because he got us there. And then unfortunately he got hurt. So to blame the guy that threw the ball that you caught and then you dropped, that doesn't make any sense to me. You know, to be an elite receiver, you got to make those toe taps. You got to lay out. You got to do what you can.
The one thing I like about Alshon Jeffrey, every time he drops the football or something, he always owns it. He never points the finger back at the quarterback. Now, whatever happens, if it's him relaying these messages to the media, Josina Anderson or whatever it is with him, the one thing he does is own if he does, in fact, drop a pass. So while he should catch it, he doesn't sit there and point the finger.
Excellent. Yeah, and I totally agree. Going forward, I got good vibes about what's going on. The road's been rough, but, you know, stay the course. We're getting these wins. You know, anybody can be beat.
How do you feel about the Patriots game after the bye week?
After the bye week, I'm ready for them. I think Doug's creative enough. I think we have the players to do the simple, basic things that we need to beat the Patriots. They have to remain disciplined. You know, make your blocks, run your routes, and go from there. Just do your job. That's what the Patriots do. Because when you play these guys, it's not who's better than who. It's who messes up first.
I find it interesting that you said he's creative enough. We haven't seen enough of that creativity.
Yeah, not yet, but he's got it.
Well, so what the hell is he waiting for?
I don't know. Maybe, who knows? Hopefully the waiting is over.
It better be over in terms of the waiting, Keith, because they have seven games left. Thanks for the call. And they are probably going to be in a fight with the Dallas Cowboys for this division. 610-632-0975 as we talk to Philadelphia Eagles. I also want to give you my thoughts on the Sixers-Suns game where I thought Ben Simmons came up small. Yep, came up small. I felt like he did And I do want to tell you right now, though, before we go to break, about the Fanatic Pro Shop, which has arrived. Quality Fanatic and Philadelphia sports-themed merchandise and apparel at discount prices. That's open for browsing right now, just in time for the holiday shopping season, the holiday gift shopping season. The Fanatic Pro Shop at 975thefanatic.com. On the phones here with us, 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick is producing. We'll hear from him. I'm Devon Givens. We're with you until 8:45 before Sixers Jazz basketball right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
8:15, 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh Rabick producing the show. I'm Devon Givens with you for about another 30 minutes. Sixers basketball takes over then. Brian Seltzer on the pregame coverage right here on The Fanatic from Sixers.com. You guys on the phone, 610-632-0975. And we played the Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith yell fest at the top of the show. As Max Kellerman says something foolish, Stephen A. Smith backed up Philadelphia. Max Kellerman, before, we don't want to play because it's too long and we have so many people to get to in such a short time. But he basically said that the receivers are not catching the football because Carson Wentz's leadership is not good enough. All right, it's ridiculous. And if you haven't seen it or heard it, it's everywhere on social media. So while we won't play it again, we played it at the top. Go ahead and check it out because it was just, it was dumb. And Jason Vaughn said that was the most ridiculous thing that he had ever heard. I agree with him. What do you guys think the problem is and how did they get it together? And what do you think about Jordan Matthews also coming back here to Philadelphia to help out for the final seven games and hopefully a long playoff run if they make it? Let's go back to the phones. Andrew in Central Florida joining us next on the Fanatic. Andrew, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, man. Thanks.
Hey, appreciate your show, Devon. Listen to it as much as I can.
Much appreciated.
Jordan Matthews, man, I don't know, man. I had so many opportunities on great receivers. I want to get your opinion on this because I've been an Eagles fan for all my life. I'm down in Central Florida, but, you know, I still Eagles head, so I can't remember much from him except he dropped the ball a lot.
Jordan Matthews?
Yeah, I know he owns, like, he knows offense, and I think he's a good pickup in that way. But is he really going to be any better? Because we already got people dropping the ball, and I remember him being a problem dropping the ball.
This is true. He didn't drop it a lot last year when he came back, Andrew. He didn't drop it like he did during his time here in Philadelphia, of course, when he was, like, the leading receiver and the guy. For this team,
because he was.
Yeah, last year when he came back, it seemed like he really did catch pretty much everything that was thrown his way. Now, in this particular case, Andrew, it's just someone who obviously is going to know the playbook and understand what the plays are, but he has a good sense of Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz knows where he likes the ball and is someone that Carson Wentz trusts at this point.
I agree with
versus Hollins and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and even Nelson Aguilar.
All three, I mean, you can scratch all three of them off the list. I'll take Matthews over him, but that's fine.
Yes.
Anyway, man, that was my only question about that because I just worried that he was going to show up and be, you know, another iteration of drop balls, but, you know, hopefully we'd be good. Carson Wentz, I know everyone talking about this stuff, And I want to say, I'm fans of both those guys. Because I've been following them since I've been playing, especially Jordan. Carson Wentz, honestly, I think he's been playing at an MVP level for the last 3 years.
I disagree with you, Andrew. Thanks for the call. MVP level in 2017. Certainly, he did not look good last year. He was okay. What did he have, 21-7? But even, I think it was 21-7. It wasn't even that good. We know what happened. They were, what, 5-6 when he went down? Carson Wentz? So now you got me looking at the stats real fast before we get back to the phone. 610-632-0975. Last year, Carson Wentz was, yes, 5-6. 21 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. It wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough. And in those 11 games, 5-6, his completion percentage was 69.6, which is okay, right? Only turned the ball over 7 times with the interceptions. But he needed to be what he was in 2017. Now, a little bit unfair, sure, because he was coming back from the ACL, and we know that takes some time. But, yeah, he wasn't an MVP caliber player last year, and he hasn't been, with all due respect, an MVP player this year either. He's been okay. I think he's taken too much heat, and we get into this stuff a lot during the pregame show with Westbrook, Thomas, and Avant, but he hasn't been great this year. Not an MVP level quarterback like we thought he would be coming into the season, second year off the ACL. A lot of it not his fault. Some of it his. A lot of it not. Right now, his numbers, the record, 5-4. 62.7 completion percentage, has to be better. 2,060 yards, 15 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. It's not enough. I agree with Brian Westbrook in the sense where he says he has to do more, he has to be better. He misses throws, but he does far more good than he does bad. They need to help him. And Max Kellerman is crazy to say that the wide receivers are dropping the football because the leadership with Carson Wentz is not there. It's just absurd. Kyle in Royersford is next on the Fanatic. Kyle, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Devon? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, the whole thing with Carson Wentz, it's definitely disheartening. You know, granted, he may not be an MVP caliber quarterback, but you got to have MVP caliber receivers to go along with you. You know, this year has been tough. We've seen a lot, you know, coming in out of lineup. But, you know, my thing is, like, what's going on with Alshon, man? He has never dropped this many passes. You know, he owns up, but, man, he just doesn't look like Alshon. He's not the guy that, you know, caught the clutch passes in the Super Bowl. What's up?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's, you heard Jason Avant say a couple of people have been living off of the Super Bowl success still, and we know about the drop with Alshon Jeffrey last year. Well, he was good last year. He was better with Nick Foles after coming back from that injury early in the season. But, yeah, he hasn't been himself, man. His speed doesn't look to be the same. And we know he's a year older and all, but his speed doesn't look to be. Sometimes it's there, Kyle. Sometimes it's not. His hands haven't been as sure as they have been. And some of the jump balls, he hasn't gotten those either. So, I hear you, man. Maybe, hopefully this break helps, allows these guys to really kind of hone in on what they are, who they are, and get back to that football team that we saw last year during the stretch run.
Yeah. I mean, do I got time for one more quick point? Or?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it was a couple calls ago, somebody brought up Nick Foles. Well, you know, the city of Philadelphia is gracious for what Nick Foles did.
Let's make some noise, come on!
But, you know, here's the thing with Nick Foles compared to Carson Wentz. You know, Nick Foles was a touch passer. Now, Carson Wentz doesn't have that touch pass, but, man, when you hit a guy in the hands, you know, your receivers are supposed to catch those balls. You know, this last Sunday against the Bears, there was plenty of balls thrown right in the hands. And, you know, what more can you do as a quarterback? You are putting your team in a chance to win, and they're dropping the balls. I mean, I saw 2 or 3 passes where Alshon had to hit him in the hands. And, you know, I don't know, with last year, year before, but that was those are, you know, key catches for Alshon. He makes those. So, you know, it's just a tough year. You know, I know we'll rebound, but, I mean, to say Carson Wentz, you know, is not it's his leadership.
Because of the
leadership, crazy,
yeah,
man.
It's too much.
So crazy. We're not watching the same game.
Yeah,
you know?
that's a big time reach, and it's a problem with, of course, when national people talk about the local team. And heck, it's probably a problem for us, Kyle, sometimes when we are not connected to some of the other teams as well. Same thing, right?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, listen, thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it. It's just absurd. 610-632-0975. Steven on Twitter, at Smooth Science, says, Max is crazy. If I start slacking at my job because I don't like my coworker, then I'm going to get fired, point blank. Can't even use them for reference. They are not dropping balls because they don't like Carson. Come on. 610-632-0975. Jim in Souderton on the Fanatic. Next, what's up, Jim?
Hey, Devon, way too long. How you doing, man?
Hey, man, it's been a while.
It has. Anyway, I just want to just say one thing. ESPN has become something where there's no accountability or credibility. And I'll give you a perfect example. Monday afternoon, I'm watching NFL Live, and I think it was Dan Orlovsky and Teddy Bruschi, I forget who. They both picked the Eagles to win the division. And Ryan Clark said, no, Dallas is going to win the division. Now, after Dallas wins Monday night, Scott Van Pelt has Ryan Clark on his show.
Right.
And Ryan Clark says he didn't see enough from Dallas to think they were good enough to win a division. How do you say that if they just won a game, dude? There's no accountability on ESPN. It's a bunch of nonsense.
I respect Ryan Clark for what he has done. So maybe he just looked at how it happened and also knows what the schedule is coming up for them, Jim, and says, you know what? I'm backing off of that statement.
Maybe, but I also get the feeling they got to say what they got to say when on the air at certain times, and it doesn't hold any credence. And let's face it, there's no guy in the league dropping a pass because they don't like their quarterback. We found out how much Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown don't like each other. Yet Antonio Brown caught 100 balls a year from Ben for what, 5-6 straight years?
Mm-hmm.
So please, can we forget about that?
Can we stay here, you know, and go back to 2004 when Donovan and T.O., while they were doing what they were doing in the very beginning of the season, we all remember the blow-up that they had when they lost that game to Pittsburgh, and they got to the Super Bowl, right? So
I agree.
It can still happen, Jim. Great stuff, man. Good to hear from you. It can definitely still happen. Definitely still happen. Tina 444 says someone needs to remind Max Kellerman that Alshon Jeffrey's biggest drop came on a pass from Nick Foles. So, Tina, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. And as far as we know, right, they love that guy. They love that guy. Theodore in Philly. Theo, what's up, man?
Hello.
How you doing?
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great, actually.
Great. Good to hear from you. What you got?
Well, number one is, like you said, that statement that he made is ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Max, that's number one. Number two is, I've been an Eagles fan all my life, okay? I hate to say it, but my father's a Cowboy fan. But the rest of us are Eagle fans. But one thing I wanted to call in, I think people need to put in perspective that 2 years ago we did win the Super Bowl, okay? That's number one, all right? So we got to understand that people go through downs and ups in teams. Things happen. Injury happens, which kind of makes you mentally not in the game. You know what I mean? It's a mental thing. I think it's more than the physical thing. Maybe a little bit off with Jeffries, a little bit more physical. But I think with
Aguilar
and the other guys, I think it's more mental. Because they
lost that confidence in themselves, not the quarterback in themselves.
Oh, exactly. No, it has nothing to do with the quarterback. It has everything to do with themselves and accountability. And I think sometimes it's weighing on them on Sunday morning when things like that you need to put aside and start from ground zero. You know what I mean? And just lacing up your Tim boots, lacing up your boots and get the moving.
And maybe they're not built for the moment. Maybe they're not built for what they're being asked to do, right, too, Theo? Because you look at that, when we talk about the corners a lot of times, we're like, oh, man, we can't wait for Jalen Mills and Darby to come back. Because when they do, everyone else then slides into their right spot. And the same here, because these guys maybe are not cut out for it. We thought Aguilar, who we saw in 2017, put up the numbers that he did. He was cut for it. And he is, unfortunately, he's not doing it.
Well, let me ask you this. Two years from the Super Bowl, I mean, I'm not going to say that this skill level has dropped. I think it's more of a mental thing. Because, listen, when I see him run his routes, right, he's running his routes very well. And he's getting that position on the corners. But the problem is he's not bringing in the ball when he should.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
So he does have the athletic ability to play with these corners because he is getting open. Now, with the ball's actually hitting his hands. He's just not closing in.
Yeah.
So I think it's just more mental. That was one thing I wanted to say. Another thing is everybody was all hype on the Cowboys. They all hype on the Cowgirls about what they're going to do this and that. Look, we're mediocre, right? They say we're mediocre. Some of these Eagle fans saying we're mediocre, but they're good. How are they good just one game ahead? I don't get it. To me, when you're one game ahead and we're striking distance, when there's like six games left, I wouldn't call us mediocre and them good. I would say we both mediocre, if anything.
Yeah.
But we both are good teams. But what you're not going to do in front of me as the Eagle fan is going to sit there as other Eagle fans are saying, oh, well, they're good. They got this and this and that. Well, why they one game ahead?
There you go.
I mean, and number
Theo.
Two is we did go on Green Bay and kick their butt. We did go in Green Bay.
Hey, well, you know what's going to happen now. It's going to come down, Theo, thank great stuff, to the final games of the season for both Dallas and Philadelphia to see who comes away with the division. Jamil, you'll be first on the other side. Brian, Jason, Ty, Ryan, our final segment before we get out of here for Sixers basketball. Brian wants to talk some hoops, so we need to do that as well. 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick producing. I'm Devon Givens. Final segment before Sixers basketball on the other side here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
This is irritating. What happened to my mic? Wasn't working. Sorry about that. 610-632-0975. Final segment for us before we hand things off to Brian Seltzer in a couple of minutes for Sixers pregame coverage. Jazz Sixers right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And real fast, before we go to Jamil and Brian, Ty, Ryan, on the Sixers before the game gets started, and we'll get into a little more of this on Friday with D-Lineman and I from Trap Tavern starting at 6 o'clock on Friday night. Andrew Salchunas will also be in the house handling things, giving out prizes and great stuff that we have for you from the Sixers and the Fanatic. Ben Simmons in that game on Monday against the Suns. 36 minutes, 2 of 8 from the floor. Only 2 free throws, made them. Big ones against the Portland Trailblazers, as we know. 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 7 steals. So right there, you're like, oh, man. But not the 2 for 8. Only 6 points. You got 32 from Horford, 24 and 10 from Tobias Harris. Tobias kind of, you know, faded at the end, and they played some good defense as well. A couple of his shots were short. He was hot early. And 20 from Korkmaz. You lose 114-109. You lose by 5 points. Ben Simmons needed to be better than that. Josh Richardson also had a hot, tough night. He was trying to guard Devin Booker, who was crazy good, efficient, 40 points for him on Monday night. I looked at Ben Simmons from the start of the game on the offensive end. Well, I saw Aaron Baines. I said, oh, wait a minute. Is that accident that they got caught right away on a switch and Aaron Baines is on Ben Simmons? Go at him. And he did. And he got one layup after a steal and a dunk. And he dunked, almost dunked on Dario, but Dario was smart and kind of backed off. 2 of 8. Missed a couple of layups. Here's my thinking. If I see a big man like Aaron Baines on me, and I'm Ben Simmons, I take that as a sign of disrespect. What in the world makes you think, Monty Williams, who was my coach the last 2 years, that you can put the center on me and I'm not going to destroy him where you're going to have to make a defensive adjustment? He let them off the hook. Again, a sign of disrespect. You can say whatever you want. I like Aaron Baines. But if I see Aaron Baines across from me, or any defender across from me that has no business defending me, you put a center on me and I'm an all-star? I am okay. That's a challenge. And it's a challenge because, again, that was my coach. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my strengths. sign of disrespect. And I didn't think Ben Simmons stood up to the challenge and made them pay for it. They did not. That's why they lost the game. I don't care that Josh Richardson shot 3-for-11. They lost the game because Ben Simmons wasn't good enough, and that was on him. He needed to be better. He let them off the hook. Aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons. He was far from aggressive after a couple of times that he went to the basket early. It did not go for him, and he didn't do it enough after that. That's my take. I'm sticking to it. I'm happy that my cousin got a win and that team is playing well. But that game was for the taking. It's a tough road trip. He should have been better. Let's go to Jamil in Norristown on the Fanatic. What's up, Mil?
Yo, what's up, Big D? What's going on,
Mil, man? What's happening, man?
What's going on? I ain't talking to you in a minute, man. I just got off work. Turned the call on. It's good to hear your voice.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Yeah, so I know I ain't got a lot of time, so I'm going to get right to it. Over the last few weeks, man, I've been hearing a lot of people coming at Carson, whether it's the Eagles fans, media, whatever the case may be, saying it's Carson, this Carson, that. I'm not even going to acknowledge that rubbish that Max Keller said with the his leadership is making people drop balls.
Come on now, ridiculous. Right? Yeah.
Ridiculous. Here's my problem with the team. First off, if you look through the film, through the footage of the games, as we all have, and the other caller said, he's putting the balls in their hands, period. And there's game after game after game where you see balls go in their hands and just drop. So it's not on him. The person I'm upset with is Howie, point blank, period. When you see, like you said, Emmanuel Sanders, what did he go for, second and the third?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. That's easy. That's easy money. Go get the man. People are forgetting, like, this year versus the Super Bowl run. I heard somebody say the team didn't change that much. Yes, it has. It has changed because when they came in, the guys that brought in, Torrey Holt, Blunt, Ajayi, these guys were actual threats. Actual threats. Torrey Smith. Which meant that every level of that defense had to give you respect. Whether you're going over the top,
yes,
the middle, and stopping the run. Dang, I do that right now. And bringing in Jordan Matthews, I was like, come on. To me, to be honest with you, I seen that coming once D-Jag went, you know, did the surgery. But it's like bringing in Jordan Matthews, to me, you're bringing in a slower Nelson Aguilar. I'm just going to be real. He's not really creating separation. Mm-hmm. He may catch the ball, but his hands aren't great. He's not going to be a deep threat. So what's the point? I don't get it. I think we wasted opportunity. I'm not mad about the whole, what's the boy's name, the cornerback from the Jaguars?
Jalen Ramsey.
I'm not mad about Ramsey because on our defense, one cornerback does not upgrade our entire defense. It doesn't because two sides of the field, right?
Right, but it does make a difference where one side is potentially shut down.
Right. I'll give you that. But I feel like the receiver portion of it, getting weapons, moving the ball downfield, and being able to score points, or at least put your team in a position to score points,
yeah,
would have been Emmanuel Sanders. And real quick before you cut me off, I know you got to go. I agree with you 100% about Ben Simmons. I watched that game the other night, and sometimes to me, I feel like Ben Simmons is playing like he's in practice. He's going to the rim, but then he's just trying to finger roll, trying to finesse the stuff.
Yeah.
Bang the ball, boy.
Aaron Baines is too big. You're going to have to dunk on him, man. He's going to bump you off your spot while you're trying to get them layups, Mill. Thanks for the call, man. You got to go up and bang on him. Get him in foul trouble. Things of that nature.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.